Hello, and welcome to another episode of Worst Collection Ever. This is the show where we tell you about the worst comic book collection in existence, and it just happens to belong to us. I'm Jen.
And I'm Sean.
And happy post-free comic book day.
Mm-hmm.
Happy post-Guardians of the Galaxy opening
day. Yeah, those are things that happen this weekend.
Here's a list of things that I did this weekend.
Yeah.
I'm just going to turn them into holidays.
We have a big knife with a stick on a stick outside.
We've got a dude trimming the tree outside, and all I can see is like a stick with like a knife on the end.
And it's kind of cool.
In front of our window, which honestly, I wish I had.
It's kind of cool.
Can I have a stick with a knife on it?
Can I borrow that for a second?
It's like that that Bob's Burgers where Louise asked for a doll whose head turns into a knife.
Yeah.
I've always wanted one of those too. Mm-hmm. Anything that turns into a knife, I'm okay with.
Oh, that's good to know for future gift ideas.
I'm going to have so many things that turn into knives. Book knife, water bottle knife, shoe knife.
What do you need knives for? What do you need knives for?
I just like them.
Okay. Well, that being said, so yeah, we had our free comic book day here in Los Angeles.
Little bit of a bust for me, I have to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just because it was so busy. And I mean, that's really great for the shops and so great, but not so great for people like me who don't like to be around crowds of people. So I'm sure the shops did well and awesome. Support your local comic book shops, please. Not just on Free Comic Book Day, but every time you possibly can. But we went to Jeffries, and there was a very, very, very long line that actually moved pretty quickly. We got some free comic books, which was great, but it was rainy in Los Angeles, so everybody was underneath one tent. So everybody's crowded together. And B, there were just so many people. I couldn't even get to the 50-cent boxes.
Well, they had it set up in a way that...
Well, they were all underneath that one tent because they didn't want people to get rained on.
Right. But I mean, it was just very much... I love Jeffries, but sometimes like their planning, like their space planning is a little, is at least more to be desired.
Yeah. And in fairness, they don't have a ton of space because they're in like a strip mall.
Well, so a strip mall, yeah. I mean, the store is packed.
Can't cut off like a ton of parking without pissing off their fellow tenants.
Well, I mean, it's the way that it's set up is that there's like it's in between two stores. So, you know, whatever's on either side of it is being affected by all these people being out there. So, I feel like in general, like out here in Los Angeles, because free comic book day, I feel out here in LA is a much bigger deal maybe than across the country?
I don't know.
Let me rephrase that. It's kind of like, it's probably like the same way in like New York or in Chicago or probably in a bigger city where, you know, even for the surrounding book, you know, places that you can just go and visit, you know, they have, you know, access to things they do. Because like a lot of places out here like to do like mini Comic-Cons and events and try to really kind of pump up the experience, you know, which is awesome because let me say this much. If I was like a 15-year-old kid or if I was like, you know, 10 years old you know, if I was, like, you know, just a kid and I was just really into comics or I'm just getting into comics, I think Free Comic Book Day would be one of my favorite days of the year.
Oh, absolutely.
And also, too, just in general, Free Comic Book Day as a concept is more geared towards, you know, the younger audience.
Yeah.
Because it's more to get people into comic books, you know, and be like, you know, the word free is very important in that equation. But also it's like, you know, it's a way for them to hook new readers or hook current readers on new projects that they're doing. So they pump those things up. Because, I'm never that excited to get anything on Free Comic Book Day.
Yeah, no, there's usually not anything that I'm like, oh my God, I have to see it. And especially now, because, you know, I was reading on IO9 and DC isn't doing any new content for Free Comic Book Day. They're just going to do reprints from now on. So I'm just kind of like...
Which, you know, to be honest,
which is fine. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. But so there's never anything that I'm like, oh my God, I have to go get that.
Yeah.
There's stuff where I'm like, that'd be cool if I read it. But I am not the audience that Free Comic Book Day is targeting.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you want to, like, here, Jen, here's a free comic from 1966.
Well, it's kind of a misnomer. It's a thing. You know, it's kind of a misnomer because when you think, You know,
it's not. I mean, people get free comic books.
I mean, no, it's ain't right. But I mean, to me, it'd be like, free comic days. Like, oh, you got a free comic of like something that's out there. It's like, here's this.
Here's an Alpha Flight, Sean.
Yeah, I know. Free comic book day consisted of like Alpha Flight and Quasar. And, you know, Guy Gardner. You know, that'd be a good day for me.
Sure.
Which it's a great day. And look, I picked up a few books from
Jeffries. Yes, you braved the crowd. I went back to the car.
I braved the crowd, you know, which, you know, and I managed to did fill a few holes in my Alpha Flights.
And your Eclipso. I did find one book.
Well, I found
And it was an Eclipso tie-in for what? The Darkness.
The Darkness Within, it was a Detective Comics annual, which I didn't have. And
that was the one book I found.
Yeah.
And then I went, too many people, and I ran back to the car.
I also got the Steel, not the from the 90s, but from the 70s, the late 70s one with Hank Haywood as the lead from Earth 2. It's I figured I'd pick one of those up because I was like, oh, I haven't read this in a while.
Yeah.
And it is not very good, so I'm kind of disappointed in that one. But nonetheless, you know, thank you for all the stores for doing this.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like I was saying, definitely support them. You know, we have some great stores out here in Los Angeles and, you know, places like Jeffries and the Comic Bug, I mean, they're packed and they probably did great business. And that makes places, people like us very happy because they need to keep going to those stores and they people go and see them.
And I know Heidi Ho's did like a little mini Comic Con. And I know the Bug has done that before. They didn't do it this year. They like rented out like a VFW hall.
Yeah, last year they did like a small thing, but this year
they didn't do it.
They just kind of spread it out over the course of a couple of days and just put it in their stores.
Because they have two separate stores.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think that, especially like, you know, like you were saying, if you were a kid, right?
Yeah.
And your parents aren't into comics, but they're going to take you to the comic book store, but they're not going to take you to the comic convention because they don't want to spend the money or they think you're too young or whatever. Like, what a cool experience.
Yeah.
Because people were especially when we were driving by the Bug.
Yeah.
There was like dudes cosplaying and like there's people signing things. Yeah. And so.
And sometimes they like, get, you know, sometimes there's big names there that are hanging out. People that do stuff that you're like, oh man, this is really cool. So, yeah. So good on, you know, good on the scene.
Sure.
I didn't
get any 50 Cent comics, I'm saying.
No.
But that's okay. I don't need any. God knows I've got a freaking stack of them I still haven't even read.
Yeah, I know. No kidding.
So I didn't really need to spend any more money.
But the fun thing is that. The way that it was structured at Jeffries when we went, it's like you buy something.
And you get more comics for free.
So you already got the free comics for Free Comic Book Day. And I bought like $1 worth of comics, which is like
have five more.
So I got like two comics. And then bought two comics and then they give you five more. So I'm like, okay, well, I spent $1 and I got
all these
10. I got 12 comics.
Yeah.
You know, essentially, whatever.
Good deal.
So tying into Free Comic Book Day, because there was a free Guardians of the Galaxy comic that came out, which, it's all right. I mean, apparently they're rebooting the series again, starting with the team from the movies, and you know, which I thought they were already doing. I don't know. Just a waste of time. But the Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 came out. We saw that in the theater yesterday as when we were taping this, and I like it.
Yeah.
It's a good movie.
It was good. Yeah, it was fun.
It's a fun movie. It's a long movie.
Yeah.
You know, it's 2 hours and some change.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they make you... I'll be perfectly honest. It's a good movie, but it's not as good. First of all, it's not as good as the first one,
mm-hmm.
I think, structurally. Because there's just a lot of nothing going on in the majority of the movie.
There were some parts that could definitely have been cut down, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, and I imagine there's probably way more footage. This movie was way longer than
I'm sure. You know, I'm sure like the whatever the extras on the DVD or the Blu-ray are going to be like crazy long.
Yeah, so that was kind of a thing with this movie is that it just dragged in certain parts and you know, plot wise, you know, it's fine. It's just one of those things where it just feels like there's nothing. There's nothing happening until certain, you know, until much later in the movie. So you kind of go through the movie waiting for something to be revealed,
mm-hmm.
you know, or something to actually happen or some sort of contention. And then there's like, you know, some moments with that, but it just kind of annoyed me because I was like, okay, well now I guess we're doing this. And, you know, here's this big event that's going to affect the Guardians, and you know, might also affect the MCU in general.
Sure,
I think that's how they're trying to sort of tie it in. But, you know, it was good. I mean, and I also, I had a few other points, but I'll let you.
Yeah, I mean, sure. I never have a lot of skin in the game with
Marvel,
especially with Guardians. Like I said, I barely know anything about them outside of the movies and some of the books that we've read here on the show. So I don't know a ton about them. I enjoyed it. It was fine. It's a fun time at the movies. Sean's right. It's a little long. There are 5 after credit sequences. So just FYI, sit through the credits to see all 5 of them. And
it's one for every time DC hasn't done one.
Yeah, pretty much. And
like, we got so many.
I think one of my main criticisms is, yeah, it's a little long, and yes, the story does drag at points, but in no way would I say that that makes this a bad movie.
No, look, I mean,
and I'm not saying that you do. I'm just saying, like, no, I'm not saying this is a bad movie at all. I'm saying, yeah, it drags in some points, and, you know, whatever. But one thing that I noticed, and I think it was because it did so well in the last Guardians, the music, which is fine. I feel that they overdid it in this one. I thought last time was the perfect balance of it. And this time they're like, oh man, they used, you know, people loved the music. We're going to put more in, even where I don't believe it belongs. Like, there's a scene, because I feel it's one of those things that you should always see if Star-Lord is involved, because that's his thing.
Yeah.
So it should be kind of tied to any time he is involved in what's going on. And there's a whole scene where they set it to this song where he has nothing to do with it.
He doesn't do it, but it's just that.
And he's
just
not even in the scene. Because he doesn't even know what's going on.
Because apparently, you know, like,
other people,
the other members of the Guardians are like, hey, I like music too. Let's talk. Yeah. I mean, I'm like, okay. Sure.
So yeah, so I thought maybe that was
what is music?
I think they do it more than once. They do it a couple times.
Yeah, you know, that's a good
point.
And
I felt like that was a little bit excessive, because I really feel that the music it ties Star-Lord to it, because that's where it comes from.
Right.
And I get that, oh yes, his friends are now like getting into the music too, but I don't know. It's just, it was too much for me. They could have like dialed, maybe like put like 2 fewer songs.
Well, they could have cut some out, because
they should have cut some out.
Could have chilled out a little bit. But and then there's, you know, there's also some murderversing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there's definitely murderversing. But I don't think that was ever a question in Guardians, because they murderversed last time, didn't they?
They did murderverse last time, but I feel like it's something where people are like, oh, man, you know, DC's so violent, you know. And
oh, no, there's definitely violence and killing in this movie.
Killing and stuff. And
but I think there was in the last one. I don't think there was ever any bones made about it.
There was, but this one's got, I don't know, there's just some parts in it where I'm like, okay, yeah, and I see, you know, you guys are doing this and you're trying to make it, you know, cute and stuff. Yeah. And, you know,
but people are still dying.
And there's gleep glopping aliens everywhere.
Yes.
So many gleep glopping aliens, which, you know, credit to
We Hate Movies
and Mr. Show. Yes. I have to say, I swear to God, for Mr. Show, the gleep glopping aliens who are just farting around here.
So many of them.
Yeah.
And I will say that apparently Jeff Goldblum is in this movie. I did not see
him. He's
in the credit. You see his face in the credits, but I didn't actually see him in the movie. I think I could have sworn he was a blink and you miss it cameo.
Yeah, this isn't it's not spoiler either, because I think he's supposed to play Grandmaster.
Right. No, it's not a spoiler. That's been all
I don't know why Grandmaster, what he's supposed to do, and why would you forget that you had Jeff Goldblum in the movie?
But I will tell you, I don't remember seeing him in the movie.
Because
I saw him in the credits and I went, wait, where was he? I could have sworn there was a part
where we saw him.
Yeah, but I didn't leave the theater, so I know he didn't have a speaking line.
Right. No, he didn't have a speaking line.
No, he didn't talk. So if you know where he is in that movie, let me know.
I'd have to go back and see the movie, you know, go back to hour 10 of the movie and find out where he is.
Yeah.
But, and it was also my other point of contention is, two more things. One thing is that there's a lot of reliance on humor this time around.
Yeah, which is not necessarily a bad thing.
It's not a bad thing, and it's you know, it makes sense, because this is the Guardians is the movie where you do this stuff in.
Yeah.
But just, Jesus Christ, like, Drax has got a joke all the fucking time.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
Drax is going to come out with a type 5 pretty soon. He's doing open mics.
Drax is out there and he's doing a special at the store. You know, he's yucking it up.
I know, but you have to be happy that Big Dave is getting so much work. in Hollywood.
Well, no, that's great. Great. He's our. It's not a matter of whether I'm happy for him. I mean, he's gonna be successful no matter what, you know. And he's gonna do all those things. But he's out here, you know, in these movies, being like jokes. And yeah. when in the last movie, they played it where it was like he would say things. And it was dialed back, yeah. You know, and they still had like a nuance for his character, you know, and I thought that was awesome. You know, that was a nuance of his character with the humor. Now it's like, hey, here's all these jokes now because I don't understand words. And I'm like, oh, come on, man. This is just dumb. You know what I thought was really good? And I don't think she gets enough credit in these movies. I mean, at least not from the stuff that I'm aware of, is Karen Gillan and Nebula.
Yeah, no, she was really good.
Because the thing about her is that I only know Karen Gillan as an actress from, I guess she was in Doctor Who.
Okay.
And she was on that show Selfie.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yes, I know who she is.
So I only know her from a few things.
Okay.
But when she's Nebula, I have a hard time believing that's the same actress.
Right.
You know, granted, there's a lot of makeup on her. There's a shit fuck ton of makeup on her.
Yeah, but there is like a and which she needs. There's like a rage underlying everything her character does.
Yeah.
Which you need for a character like Nebula. Is good.
And to be honest, it kind of sucks that they took that away from Gamora.
Yeah.
A little bit. And made it more her thing, and Gamora, you know, and I think, what's her face? I think it was a long time when the first one came out, when comedy filmmakers were talking about, and Jackie Cation was kind of lamenting on the fact that just kind of, I feel like they neutered Gamora. Or not neutered, but I shouldn't say neutered, but.
Yeah, but they just took a lot of her stuff away.
Yeah, they took a lot of stuff away, and like Nebula's kind of that kind of got that role, got that attitude, and you know, which is great, and I think Karen Gillan or Gillan does a great job.
Yeah,
you know, it's a great role, and I kind of want to see a movie with her.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
You know, I was like, let's just do a movie with her. Fuck this. Forget some of these other dumb ones you're doing. Just do that or do a TV show.
Yeah,
you know, take Iron Fist away and put her in there or something. And the last thing I wanted to point out, and this is something we talked about, like. So the Groot situation.
Oh, Groot! Yes.
So you know, as you can see from the trailers and all the you know the marketing, like Groot's it's baby Groot.
Yes.
At the end of the last movie,
he is small.
He was a tree,
little sapling.
He had a head and he had arms.
He was in a pot.
He was in a pot, and now he's out of the pot, and now he's like a little Groot.
Yeah.
But the way that they play it is. He's supposed to be like a little kid, a little baby.
Yeah.
And they treat him like a little baby. Like they hold him like a baby.
It's a little weird.
But he's also like out there doing missions and doing warrior stuff.
That's the thing.
He's got like the wherewithal to be a fighter, but that sometimes he's like.
Too dumb. And he doesn't understand what people are telling him. Like
right.
there's a couple scenes where like Groot do this thing and he like literally doesn't comprehend it.
Right, because he's you know, because he's like talking to a little kid. Because
he's
know?
Like a kid, but then at the same time he's like still with them during battles.
Yeah, and like they're still like okay for having him.
Like they don't leave him in the ship or something.
Yeah, like they don't.
It's a very strange thing.
It's child endangerment.
But I mean, comic books are good at child endangerment.
Of course there is, and it's just, but there's some moments where I'm like. Because they're holding.
Yeah, I'm like, why is he in the scene?
Like they're you know, carrying him around like he's a baby.
Like a baby.
Like you know, like he's like you know, he's a little kid, and they're putting him to sleep. And I'm like, well, wait. So it's like they adopted a child.
Yeah. And I was actually confused because again, I know nothing about Guardians, and I don't know how Groot's people's life cycles work. I knew that Groot.
Well, apparently it's just
died at the end of the last one, but there was a little bit left of him, and I was like, oh, so he's just going to get big again. I thought he would have retain some sort of memory, but it doesn't seem like it. It seems like he is a whole new entity,
right?
I didn't understand.
And you have to tell me that, like, maybe, like, was there a situation where, like, eventually he grew his legs, and then they had to, like, was there a situation where he's in this pot and, like, you know, because he had to, like, come out of the pot at some point.
Yeah, he outgrows it, so they take off the stuff.
And were they like, okay, is he ready to come out of the pot? And maybe he was like part legs, and it's just, and what if they would have done? Because I mean, because there's probably like you know, Groot doctors on the Groot planet. wherever the hell Groot was from.
Yeah, I don't know.
They were able to take care of him.
Yeah.
You can't tell me that, you know, you can't tell me that Star-Lord knows proper Groot prenatal care or postnatal.
Postnatal.
You know, is there a, you know, I'm having a little bit of an issue with that.
Yeah. Oh, yes. So that's confusing, but I did want to say one last thing. Good on Sean Gunn for being featured so prominently in this movie as more than just the guy in the motion capture suit for Rocket. Because that's right. What he was last movie.
Oh, yeah. He's like all over the place.
And this time he has like an actual, like, his face on screen role.
He's got
he's got a big part.
He's got duties.
Yeah.
He's Kirk glopping all over the place.
Kirk from the Gilmore Girls. Yucking it up in the old Guardians of the Galaxy. So
great.
Good on him. He's obviously James Gunn's brother. Good for him, man. You know, I wonder, I didn't look at the credits to see if he still did the motion capture for Rocket.
Yeah.
If he did, I hope he gets two paychecks. So good on him.
Yeah, people are getting paychecks.
But yeah, no, definitely go see Guardians again. A little bit long. So, but definitely go see. I would say see it.
If you're listening to this podcast, you're probably going to see it.
Yeah.
You know, you're not angry at comic book movies. You are angry at comic book movies, but you're going to see it.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
But I would say it's not a waste of money.
No.
Like, if you asked me, was Suicide Squad a waste of money? I would say yes.
No.
This is not a waste of money.
No, it's definitely not a waste of money. It's definitely not a waste of money. You know, you'll get your money's worth, and, you know, you can have the same questions about Groot's infancy.
Yeah, how does Groot work?
How does Groot work? You'll write that down, and you'll ask the usher on the way out.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back, and we'll talk about our book for the week.
Hi, I'm Nicholas Kropp, the host of Comic Reflections, a podcast devoted to Silver and Bronze Age comics. Join me and my spunky sidekicks, Jeff Barnhart, the crusty curmudgeon from Dogpatch USA, and Spencer Valadez, podcasting's very own Apache Chief, as we discuss the grooviest comic books of yesteryear. You'll find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and at comicreflections.wordpress.com. What are you waiting for? Tune in, turn on, and kick ass.
All right, we're back here at Worst Collection Ever, here with our book for the week. It is Superman's Pal, Jimmy Olsen, number 112 from July 1968.
This is an enjoyable book. Well, I bought this. This shouldn't be a surprise.
Jimmy Olsen book.
Of course, I buy the Jimmy Olsen.
It's the dumbest shit ever.
I don't understand how Jimmy Olsen had a comic book for as long as he did.
I don't know. I don't know how people just.
I don't understand why he was even a character. This is such. The reason I love these books so much, not just Jimmy Olsen, but a lot of these older books, is because it really is a time capsule. Things that happen in this book, characters that get books in this time period, would never happen today. Like, I have a Superman family that has a super baby story in it.
Yeah.
It's like 1966 or something. Yeah. We'll probably have to read it on this show.
I think they're reprints in that.
They're reprints, but it was at least released in 66. And we'll have to read it on the show, but Super Baby is told to go play in the abandoned city. And his parents are like, bye. And he runs into a cop, and the cop's like, hey, you're going to go play in the city? He's like, yep. Cop's like, have fun.
Mm.
Shit like that would just happen because it was normal. And it's
well,
crazy.
As John Mulaney would say, he was around before kids were important.
That's true. We were born while kids were not important. And by the time we grew up, kids were important.
Yeah. We weren't shit.
No, we were in that last generation where kids weren't shit.
Yeah.
And now, like, if you don't,
you could still have back when you could still have traumatic experiences being lost on the other side of a pond.
Yeah.
And still grow up okay.
Yeah. When your parents would literally just go
happened
outside.
To me, by the way,
did you get lost?
Oh yeah. Did you ever hear that story?
No, I've never heard this.
My dad. My dad went. My dad and my family went to we went to I don't know where the fuck we went. Some woods thing.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. Some thing where it was like, you know, hey, a bunch of my dad's work buddies are gonna be around drinking beers and listening to The Rock, and we're gonna go
like Dwayne Johnson, the
yeah,
Rock?
Yeah, he was doing a tight five with
was
Drax.
He just singing?
Yeah. He sings? Yeah.
He was getting ready for his part in Moana.
Yeah, yeah, he was singing. It was
years early.
It's pre-Moana. You know, it was a young teenage Dwayne Johnson.
Pre-Moana, the Rock.
And so I just all of a sudden wandered off as a young child, and I got like lost on the other side of like a pond, and like my parents were like, oh, there's our son. And then they had to come get me, and I remember have very vague memories of it, but it did happen.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, and you know, not and it affected me as a man.
Why, are you afraid of ponds now?
Yes. No. I don't know. I just feel like it will build character. It gave me a chance to be fearless at a young age.
Were you actually fearless?
No. But, you know, there are moments.
But you could have been.
But
that's
I could have
point.
Been. I feel like I've grown to be more fearless as I go through living in Los Angeles. Because now, it's you know, the pond is like, I'm on the other side of the country
yeah.
from my family.
Yeah, well, it's a metaphorical pond. Yeah.
So, yeah, back when I was a kid, though, that shit could happen. Now, you know, if that would have happened, you know, it would have been like all over the friggin' news.
Oh, yeah.
Like, family lets kid go to the other side of pond.
Yeah, yeah. And you probably would have been taken away.
Yeah, taken away, and Donald Trump would have passed a law or something. Be like, we're going to get rid of ponds. We're going to get rid of ponds cold cream. We're just going to blow it all up.
Yeah.
You know?
No.
No. No.
Because, I mean, I remember I was probably about 9. Now, I was the oldest, so it was me, my sister, who's 3 years younger than me, and then our buddy from down the street, Susie, and sometimes her brother. We would just be like, oh, we're going to the park. Well, I'd be like, okay, have fun. This is during the summer. We would, all four of us, me being the oldest at like 9 or 10, and I was the one in charge because I was the oldest, we'd all ride our bikes down to the park, yeah. And we would be there for hours. Hours. My parents wouldn't come check on us.
Yeah.
My friend's parents wouldn't come check on us.
Yeah.
And we were there for fucking hours, and everybody's like, okay, we'll just be home by...
Be home by a certain time.
Yeah,
we're making dinner. If you're not home, then you're not getting dinner.
Yeah, take your watch, be home by like 5:30. Because that, you know.
Watches.
But there was no cell phones. Nobody came to check on us.
No.
We were just down there for fucking hours. Just alone in a wooded area. Just having a good time.
Yeah.
And that shit could never happen today. Somebody would like call the police. And oh my God, there's four kids having fun somewhere.
Some four kids in a field having
no
fun.
No parents are watching them.
Excuse me, where are your parents? I don't know.
Yeah, but that, I mean, that's just how it was back then. Yeah. Like, nobody gave a fuck.
Yeah, that's the age of Jimmy Olsen.
Yeah.
So, no wonder this is such an irresponsible book.
Yes. Well, I don't know about if this is an irresponsible book, but it's a dumb book.
Well, dumb. Stupid.
First, we have to talk about the cover.
Okay, stupid cover. Jimmy Olsen, number 112. So, the cover you have on the top part of it, it's like, you know, it's split up here. And
it's supposed to be above ground and below ground.
Above ground, below ground. And the top part, Jimmy Olsen in his purple suit is like, at exactly noon, Superman will burst out of his box below. He's the world's greatest escape artist.
Which, that's not true. Isn't that Batman?
No, that would be like Mr. Miracle, but Mr. Miracle wasn't around yet.
Right, but Batman got a lot of like, he's a really great escape artist. Obviously better than Superman. Superman just like drills through shit with his fucking fists.
I think they gave Superman like a bunch of this. I think Batman just had like a rep for like, yeah, he's pretty good at things.
Well, I mean, he has to be because like,
but they never were like,
if you wrap chains around Superman, he's just going to like shrug and bust them all. If you wrap chains around Batman, he has to actually get out of them.
Man, oh, he's fucked.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Superman is, so Jimmy's pointing
down.
First
we have to talk about, so Jimmy is pointing at a clock that is being held by a Superman on one knee that's being like hoisted, and he's like in the middle of this is a statue in the middle of the town square.
Yeah.
And then he's, this city, it kind of looks like it should be...
It's like Germany.
Yeah, like Germany, because there's a dude in Lederhosen back here.
Well, here's the thing. Okay, so you got a dude in Lederhosen back here. You got this girl in the this banana yellow dress.
Yeah,
you got
with like a high collar.
You got Dennis Sabetis. You got Hans Gruber.
Oh, yeah, there's Hans
Fucking
Gruber.
Hans Gruber in the background. You got the Angus Scrim, the tall man from in the very far background here from Phantasm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know they're all here. It's a Comic-Con, actually. It's like,
well,
it's already, it's a Comic-Con in Germany.
Okay. Yeah, it's a German Comic-Con.
German Comic Con.
So that's where Jimmy is.
Das Comic Uncon. Sure.
And so
I'm an idiot.
He's pointing down to through the ground where there is Superman in a coffin that he can't fit in, actually, because he doesn't have enough room to like stretch out his legs. And his legs are like all drawn up, like, you know, looking good, but he's like really upset and he's pounding against it and he says, lost all my superpowers hours ago, can't breathe, I'll die within seconds. So that's where we are.
Yeah. And then he does.
R.I.P. Superman.
R.I.P. Superman. Okay. So what's wrong with this picture? The murderous Magna Man is what the story is called. And then basically you have a picture of what appears to be
Jimmy Olsen.
Jimmy Olsen. It's Jimmy Olsen stabbing what appears to be
Superman
with blonde hair, but he
has blonde hair and an M on his chest.
But you know what he looks like, and I realized this partway through was if you've ever seen pictures of Alan Moore's Miracle Man,
okay,
so from like the 80s and stuff like that, okay, his whole seminal like superhero work,
he looks pretty much
like that,
okay,
and basically instead of an M,
he's Superman with blonde hair and an M.
Basically, yeah, he's got an M. It's kind of like if the Miz was Superman, because the Miz always changes like everything that, you know, like if there's like a letter on it, like he could change it to like an M.
Sure.
He always calls it Miz TV or whatever he does.
Yeah.
And so he's basically like if the Miz, but he's got a red M on his chest. He's blonde and he's getting stabbed with a crooked sword by Jimmy, because this probably happens. This happens later in the show.
Sure.
So apparently, okay.
So we start with Jimmy at a meeting of the Jimmy Olsen fan club.
Okay,
because that's when this was still a fucking thing.
Why? Okay, for is this
a Jimmy Olsen fan club or is this a super? No, it's the Jimmy Olsen.
Fan club. No, it's a Jimmy. It says I had to go back and read that, but go ahead and continue.
It's because at first I was like, wait, is this the Superman fan club? No, this is the Jimmy Olsen fan club. This is back when that was a thing, when there were a bunch of young boys who just loved Jimmy Olsen and followed him around.
Again, before kids were important.
Yes. Also, before people ever said the word gay.
Or creep.
Well, no, but I mean, like, you could imagine that there were probably some boys in this fan club who were in this fan club because they loved Jimmy Olsen, which is fine.
Young boys figuring it out.
Well, sure. I'm sure this was their sexual awakening, and they were like, oh my God, I'm totally into gingers. I didn't even know. but it's played off as this, like, super innocent thing. Yeah. Super innocent heterosexual thing.
It's just
might not be.
Hey, I'm really into, you know,
just love Jimmy Olsen, guys.
Glenn Danzig. Let's go to the Glenn Danzig club, you know?
Yeah. So,
I'm sure exists.
Maybe. I'm sure Danzig hates it.
He's not happy at all.
Danzig not happy about anything.
Okay, but anyway, so these kids. Okay, so basically, these kids are like, hey,
Everybody ready.
Everybody ready. It's Jimmy's birthday. Because they're having this meeting and Jimmy's like, hey, what are you guys doing? He's like, it's your birthday. Hooray.
Yeah, and they all hold up signs and it spells happy birthday. Like, happy birthday, Jimmy. And then Superman comes barreling in the window, through the window. And he's like, hey, Jimmy, it's me, your best buddy, Superman. I have a signed note for you.
Well, no, what he does actually, just if you look here, he's...
Oh, that's right. I see it.
He's flying in with a giant selection of...
Cards
that are tied to a string for some reason, like instead of just putting them in like a bag,
I assume he's gonna hang them on the wall.
Well, he does, because he says, hey, I'm gonna put all these up on the wall, and he's like, sweet, and he puts all these pictures on the wall because he's Superman, and he went to Kinko's and he got himself some hooks and some stickies and some all that stuff, and he went
and he put it up, and it's like, because you can see it outside the window, it's like very, it's a very for some long reason they're chain all like, of cards.
With their long chain of cards.
It's like when your mom, at Christmas hangs like a string, and then anytime somebody sends you a card, she puts it on the string. Yeah. That's what this is.
Yeah. So, and he actually, I just realized there's the Lois Lane card.
Yes, right there.
Because at first I didn't see it. At first I thought she said, fuck them, and didn't send one. But yeah, here it is, because I also saw Lucy Lane and Perry White and Superman and Clark Kent.
Yeah. Oh, and they're written differently. Please note that Superman and Clark Kent have different handwriting.
Oh, I know. That would have gave them away.
Right? So it's very, and they're like, well, and then Superman's like, well, I'm glad I brought you these cards. See ya. And he leaves.
No, because he's like, I have to go on a space mission. Goodbye. And then he's like, all right, he's thanks. Like,
all right,
and then
bye.
Just at that time, they're like doing some the new business for new members. And in walks this girl.
A lady. Girl?
A girl? A princess?
Yeah, I mean, he actually says a girl. Like, it's G-girl.
G-girl.
And they're like, oh my God. And Jimmy's like, what a hot chick. And I'm like, I don't believe that, Jimmy. But that, I mean, like, I don't believe that that's what Jimmy would think. Because this comic book is so... innocent.
Right.
That it's hard for me when they do throw this in here a couple times, but I don't actually believe it, if that makes sense.
What, believe what?
That Jimmy would think this. I think this is what the writer wants you to think.
What, that this girl's...
No, that Jimmy would think that. I think Jimmy is still so, gee willikers, nah, nah, you know what I mean? Like, such an innocent character.
Yeah.
That I can't imagine him having any sort of sexual thought. Does that make sense?
Oh, he does. He gets engorged.
Ew. I don't know. He gets engorged? Is that what we're calling it now?
As long as he doesn't do it at the fan club meeting, he's fine.
Is that why he stands in front of that podium?
Yeah.
Just in case one of these female ladies walk in.
He's gonna the podium explodes. Oh, Superman must use his heat vision on it.
Oh, I don't know what happened.
Anyway, so this girl comes in. She comes in
and he's like, what are you doing here? And she's like, oh, I'm a princess. Princess Vania? Sure. How do you say this place?
I would just say Duxania.
Duxania. I'm Princess Vania of Duxania. Sure. And I want to be a member of your fan club. And he's like, there are rules. And she's like, oh, I know. I have to wear a bow tie. See, I'm wearing a bow tie.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, you're hip. He calls her hip. He's like, but I have to give you an initiation test. Take this chalk and draw Superman from memory. Wait, if that would be hard to do.
Wait a minute. He gets a chalk?
Yeah, look, right there.
He's got to do the chalk? That sucks.
He hands her a piece of chalk and says, draw Superman from memory. And like, I mean, I'm no artist, but I could draw a Superman. Like, not a great one, but I could draw something.
I can't draw anything on chalk.
You couldn't draw like a stick figure?
Well, not Superman, not like what they're looking for here.
No, I mean like, yeah, she goes over, but I mean like, you can't tell me if I were just to draw like a circle with a little neck and then a triangle with like legs sticking out of it and like an S on its chest, that wouldn't be good enough to draw a Superman.
I guess. I mean, right? First of all, she's doing it on a chalkboard where it looks like she's like it's this gigantic 10-foot tall chalkboard.
Yeah.
And she draws Superman, and yet somehow she draws it with the chalk and she just colors in this mass.
Yeah, he's all white.
This white thing, but she.
Except for where the S would be, but she draws an M.
This probably took like 3 hours.
It probably did. Yeah, because especially, I mean, it had to have taken like 6 pieces of chalk to draw, like, color in that much tall Superman.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're not.
This isn't just one piece of sidewalk chalk. Like, you're using the whole thing.
She's getting dust in there. That sucks.
Oh, yeah. This
poor woman.
Anyways, he's like, oh, man, I was rooting for you, but you got it wrong.
6 hours later, you got it wrong.
Because you put an M instead of an S.
And it turns out because in her language, super equals magna.
Yes.
So she put an magna M. Man. She put an M.
Without thinking.
And he's like, well, that checks out. You're in the club.
Yeah. And you're a gorgeous member of our club.
And so
she's also wearing a cape, by the way. I just want to point out
she's
this woman.
She's dressed like Count Vertigo.
Yeah, she really is. She's
100%. She's like, dressed like fucking Count Vertigo.
This is the 60s. Everybody else is dressed like the 60s, but she is, for some reason, is like wearing like a high collar with a cape and it's a thing.
Yeah. So she ends up, she's like, all right, well, I got to leave.
Yep. They leave the meeting.
Which is kind of weird that she, you would think, if Jimmy was just like, not as into her or whatever, so this plot wouldn't progress. But like, it would be weird that she just shows up to draw Superman with chalk and then leave.
Well, I'm assuming that this is just the end of the meeting.
Right.
Maybe Jimmy was like, all right, go forth and be me or whatever to his little...
Go forth and wear those things.
Bow ties.
I can't see bow ties.
My dad has bow ties. Does this surprise you?
No. Your dad has pocket protectors.
He sure as fuck does. That was, by the way, his inheritance from my uncle.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, he was so proud when my uncle passed away. He went to clean out his house.
Not the pages of memoirs your uncle wrote by hand.
Yes.
Which they threw out.
They threw away the journals my uncle wrote in every day by hand. Because why not? And then when he came home and said, look what I got, he had like 6 pocket protectors. And he was so happy. I still have never forgiven him for throwing away those journals. I just wanted one.
One? You could have wrote like 20 screenplays out of it.
I just want to know what was in it. He did it every day. And they threw it away. I'm so bad. Anyway. still mad. Okay.
We could have been rich. We could have wrote a screenplay.
Rich, but that shit is irreplaceable.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know what was in it. It could have just been like, I got up today and I went to the store and they had a free sample because my uncle loved free samples. Mm-hmm. And it was a cracker and I liked it. And then I came home and I took a nap and I mowed the lawn and that was my day. Like, it could have just been that. And I would have been fucking happy with it. I'd have been like, that's awesome. Good for you. Writing that shit down.
Mm. Anyways, so super, whatever, these dumb people.
So anyway, they go outside and she's like, oh, I'm leaving. And he's like, wow, what is this huge car? Because it's like really sweet. And she's like, oh, why don't you come with me to the, I got to go to the airport. Why don't you come with me?
Why don't you come with me and why don't you drive me?
Yeah. And he's like, well, I mean, I should go back to work, but I guess I'll just call this an interview. So he gets in the car.
Even though he's not an interviewer.
He's
a picture taker.
He's like, oh, I could get an interview. But not only that, you're driving. Whatever. So he's driving to the airport.
Apparently he goes on the outskirts of Montana.
Yeah, because there's no speed limit wherever the hell he is.
Well, it's on the way to the airport. So apparently you could just burn rubber.
Well, he says, Tariff, 120 miles per hour. And I haven't even shifted into high gear.
Oh, God.
Surprised anybody makes it to this airport alive.
Yeah, they should be dead.
They should be dead. So they make it to the airport.
I like how they make like the guy who brings her here like sit in the back.
Yeah.
This poor guy. And so they go and they get to the jet and she jumps on the jet and then all of a sudden.
And they go, Jimmy, come on the jet with us. And he's like, okay. And then he gets like
grabbed
by mechanical arms.
But it's weird because like they kind of have like Mickey Mouse hands. It looks like they're groping him.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah.
It's like he's having an awakening.
Mm-hmm. And then he gets shot in the face with like knockout gas.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, all right, we're going to my country.
So they go to his country and...
I like when he wakes up and he goes, say, this isn't America.
No, it's not.
It's...
No, there's terrain.
Yeah. I don't know. Sure. So they're there. They get off the plane.
They get off the plane and they're like, hey, look, they're her father, this woman's father, the princess's father, the king, Atagari.
Sure.
Is like, hey, you know,
we're
your friends. He's like, but you kidnapped me. And he's like, I'm calling Superman.
Yeah.
And he's like.
So he turns on his watch.
Turns to Superman and then in comes Magna Man.
Yeah. And he's like, you know, he's like, I'm here and I'm here. Turn off that stupid fucking watch, first off.
Shoves him.
Because he's like holding his ears, being like, oh, that watch is terrible. So he shoves him to the ground. He's like, I'm here to kill the king.
Yeah.
That's what I do. Me, Magna Man. Bullets are bouncing off of him. He flips over a plane. And then Jimmy turns on his signal watch again, hoping that Superman is maybe back on the planet.
Yeah.
Which causes Magna Man to like grab his ears again and fly away.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, you saved my father, Jimmy. Thank you so much. I'm sorry I abducted you, but we really need your help against Magna Man.
Mm-hmm.
Because we were hoping somebody like you would be able to help us find his weakness.
Pretty much.
Which, sure. Why not?
Yeah.
So they're like, let's go back. I'll tell you the story of Magna Man. So they go to the palace.
Where the king plays with jaguars.
Yes, he does. He's like, this is my giant cat.
He has two giant cats. That he's just like, anyways, let me tell you a story about a guy.
While I'm being almost eaten
playing with wild cats. This is dumb.
So he tells a story about this inventor scientist guy that they had who had like a lead vault laboratory,
yeah.
I guess. And he wouldn't even let his assistant in there.
Yeah.
Who his name was... Klarz. And so he made this sort of super serum and he tested it on a gopher, which has a tag on it that says gopher for super serum tests.
Yeah.
Which that's good. And it worked because the gopher like burrowed through the iron floor.
Yeah, he's super strong gopher.
And he's like, yeah, that's awesome. And so this guy's
this
like,
this is actually a prequel to Caddyshack.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. That makes total sense.
This, if you didn't know...
This gopher is going to just vex Bill Murray for a very long time.
Because that gopher actually talks, too. Eventually, it evolves into talking and fucking with Bill Murray.
Yeah. It's directly descended from this gopher.
Yeah.
That's how it happened. It burrowed through the center of the earth and went to America.
Nice.
Yeah. So this guy's like, man, I'm going to write all my notes with this quill because so many scientists have used this quill. It's like that Unsolved Mysteries that Sean loves so much.
Oh, what? The one where the one where this guy is sitting at a table via candlelight writing
with
notes,
a quill.
Notes with a quill. And for some reason, he gets up and turns on the lights and actual lights in the room. And it shows that he's in the middle of a fucking laboratory.
A computer laboratory. And he goes and sits at a computer. I don't remember the context of that, but it's also amazing.
It's pretty great. And he...
So that's what this guy
is writing. So this quill pen apparently is very good.
Yeah, because other scientists have used it.
How do you know that? You probably just that's got what, it.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, dude, you just bought this at Barnes & Noble.
Someone just bought that for you at a papyrus.
Yeah, they sell those at papyrus. They sell them at Barnes & Noble so you can feel all fancy.
And it says, previously used scientist pen. He's like, oh, I'm so smart.
But as this is going on, all of a sudden the door gets ripped off the hinges.
Klars.
And it's his laboratory assistant in the Magna Man costume.
The word Klars.
It's Klars. And he's like, what are you doing? Why are you wearing that costume? Why are you ripping off the door?
Why are you dressed like Miracle Man? Are we getting sued?
And he goes, I drank.
Actually, they should sue the fuck out of Alan Moore here.
Yeah.
Fuck Alan Moore.
Yeah, well, maybe he was like, can I borrow this guy? And they're like, well, sure, since he's dead.
Hey, can I borrow Klars? Klars.
And he's like, all right, he's like, I drank the super serum, haha, now I'm gonna kill the king. Why? We don't know.
No, because he says he's a part of a rebel force, so basically he's part of a rebel underground force, so he's good at he drank the super serum, put on some clothes, and was like, yeah, let's kill.
This is what I love about these comic books, because there's always like somebody who's out to kill a king or something,
mm-hmm.
and it's always some rebel force. But we're never told why they're rebelling against the king. They just are.
Well, look at him play with cats. He must be a dick.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Is he a horrible ruler? Is there a...
I don't know. He seems pretty
should
nice.
Should we be on the rebel side here?
I don't know. Superman should have... how come Superman didn't get involved?
That's the thing. Maybe we shouldn't be... What if he's starving his people? Maybe if he's like a Kim Jong-un or something.
Ooh.
I don't know. Mm. But we're never told that.
Apparently they have sweet-ass cars and stuff.
We're just told that this chick is hot and her dad's going to die, so we need to be on Jimmy...
That's all you need to know.
So he's like, I'm part of the Rebel Alliance. Don't pull that alarm. I'm going to throw this quill directly through your heart like an arrow.
No, he rings the alarm. The scientist rings the alarm and he goes, bah, who cares? I'll just hurl this quill at super speed and it'll become as deadly as an arrow.
And it does.
He murders this guy with his papyrus pen. Fucking savage.
And so like the security shows up and he's like, I have plans, haha, and he like leaves.
Yeah, he steals the plans, and then just as he before this scientist dies, he's like, you can stop him with
they don't know what his weakness is.
Dead.
And they're like, Jimmy, help. We don't know if it's kryptonite, we don't know what it is. Help us discover this guy's weakness.
Is his weakness shredded beef?
Sure. It's carnitas.
Is it carnitas?
Yes. If you feed him carnitas,
he's like, carnitas. Oh, I'm dead.
Oh, no. And then, he can't murder.
Mm-hmm.
Carnitas solves all problems.
So we get
to the lab.
They go to the lab and they find. What do they find here?
I don't know.
Apparently he leaves some code on. There's some code they find and they run it through a computer.
Yeah.
And it comes through and it says, lead.
His nemesis is lead.
Yeah, it for some reason that's what comes up on this screen.
He's like, oh, that's cool. And then, but for some reason, Magna Man's always like watching it through one of those like evil computers that can see everything.
Yeah,
so it can see what the good guys are doing. And he's like, haha, it's gonna tell them what I, you know, what I wanted it to say, because if I were vulnerable to lead, I couldn't juggle these lead cannonballs.
Which he's doing,
he's just like do 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 like while he's watching.
Yeah.
I guess that's what he does when he's bored. He wants to join the circus. That's really what he wants to do. He doesn't want to be a rebel. He just wants to join the circus and entertain.
Why couldn't you let him join a circus?
I know. I mean, that would have been solved if they just had a circus here.
That's probably why he's rebelling, because they don't have a
circus. There's no circus.
No circus.
There's no Ringling Brothers sans animals for him to...
You know, they're just having Die Und Comic-Con.
Well, maybe he's like, I want to join the circus, but I don't want to join one when you're being so mean to the animals. a horrible man who's keeping jaguars as pets.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is,
so that's what I'm rebelling against.
Figured it out.
There we go. We figured it out. Yeah. So his henchman buddies are like, "Hey, Magna Man, what is your weakness?" And he's like, "I'm not telling you." He's like, "I'm not going to tell anybody.
Let's wait till they stop drawing this panel. I'll tell you later."
He's like, "I'm not going to do it."
Right.
So suddenly,
Jimmy does, so all of a sudden Jimmy uses his noisy watch to do a thing to challenge,
like Morse code
to challenge Magna Man, and he's like, "All right, fine, I'll come over and I'll
it really hurts his ears.
It hurts his ears, but he decides, like, "Well, I'll come over and I'll pretend I'm whatever."
Yeah, so he just decodes, he's like, "Fine, I'll go to the royal banquet," and that's it. So he barrels through, we're at the banquet, he barrels through the ceiling, but he's wearing a helmet.
Are they in the planetarium?
I think so.
Because it's like,
it's all like all this, stars and stuff.
Oh man, maybe this is the planetarium that he went to as a kid to learn about Jupiter's monsters.
Yeah, probably.
Nice.
Yeah. But see, there's never an explanation for this part. We can assume that it is because he's trying to like preserve his hearing. Because obviously we've figured out by now that his nemesis is this sound. But he's wearing a helmet.
Yeah.
And he doesn't wear a helmet any other time in this book. Just for when he shows up.
Well, he doesn't, because the next time he shows up is at the end.
Yeah, but he's still not wearing a helmet then.
Because there's reasons. We'll get to it.
I don't accept those
But reasons. This time he's just like, "Haha, I'm wearing a helmet. You can't bother me."
Yeah. And so Jimmy takes this like really piss-ass little sword.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this couldn't kill anybody. This is like a fencing sword. It's like really one of those thin.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's probably like a safety fencing sword so you don't hurt anybody. Like, it's pointless. So the guy comes in and Jimmy's like, why Jimmy has to do this, I don't know. Why it's not like the actual elite trained guard that they have hanging around.
Why don't they just have somebody stab him with a pencil?
Yeah, but I mean, like, they've got an entire military and they're just like, "Hey, Jimmy Olsen, how about you kill this guy?"
You have this dumb ginger in a bow tie.
Not one of our like super elite dudes who like have trained for this literally his entire life.
Got their busy drawing Superman with chalk.
Just some dumb photographer who has his own fan club
They specifically recruited him.
Yeah, to help figure out his weakness, stab him.
This crazy country was like, "You know what our savior is? Is Tucker Carlson from Crossfire?"
That's exactly it. They went, "Oh man, who can save us? I know, Tucker Carlson."
Fuck that guy.
But I mean, like, I get it if you're like, "We're gonna have you help us figure this out," but then why actually have him be the one to hold the sword? That makes little sense. Anyway,
whatever.
Comic books. So the guy comes in. He's like, "Haha, stab," and it obviously wrinkles. But he says, "Haha, you got me. Oh no!" And Magna Man falls away.
Oh, I'm so hurt. Yeah.
And then
Jimmy gets a smack.
Well, like a
love smack. Love smack.
He gets a smooch.
Because she's like, "I need to give you a reward."
Like, it's a reward. Like, and I'm like, "Give him like money."
Yeah,
like,
give him money. Like, give him a cat.
Yeah, give him a cat. Give him some money. Give him some jewels. And she's like, "No, here you go." Mm-hmm. And he's like, "Wow, oh man, royal." Man. Yeah. I mean, okay.
I've got a royal erection. Ooh.
Is he engorged?
Yeah, this is when it happens.
All of a sudden, the podium explodes.
And they make him into a duke. They knight him as a duke.
Magna Man flew away. They don't have his body.
No.
But they're still like, "Good job, Jimmy. The sword if I was this
ruler, I'd be like, I need Magna Man's head."
Yeah. You need to
cut that guy's head off and just
or to
give
bring
it to me,
his body. Show me the like because I'd be like, "Man, you stabbed him, but your sword's all crinkled and there's no blood anywhere. Can we assume that it didn't work?" Like, literally, there's an entire room full of people who could tell you it didn't work.
Yeah.
But it's fine, Jimmy. Here, have a dukehood or whatever. So Magna Man's watching Jimmy get duked on TV, and he's like, "Haha, they fell for it. Everybody's dumb." And he's like stabbing a picture of the king.
Well, I mean, this guy must be they sell full length posters of this guy.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. Stabbing.
So then him and his henchmen hatch a plan.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll find out.
Well, which we'll find out about. And then, so meanwhile, we go back to like Jimmy and his buddies, and they're like, "You know, we're going to have a parade."
Well, he's like, look, I have to get back to America because I'll straighten the sword out for you.
Yeah.
I have to go back to America.
I'm not going
to
ask why it's not straight in the first place
and,
when it was when I made it.
Yeah. I got to go back to Metropolis because it's Superman Day. And they're like, well, look, we celebrate Superman Day here too. It's like Christmas and shit.
Why don't we have Superman Day?
I don't know. Let's have it.
Let's have a Superman Day.
So like we want to
Because this looks fun.
It's like, you need to stay here and we need to stay here in sort of Germany and let's have Superman Day und Comic-Con.
Yeah, because this is Superman Day has a parade where there's a Superman float.
It was a statue, Superman statue from the cover.
That's
on the cover.
Yep, that Superman statue is there, but there's a float where the king and the princess and Jimmy sit inside of basically Superman's chest cavity. Mm. Because it's like...
Come to think of it, I'm bleeding inside of my chest.
It's like, a float like you would see on TV, and then in the back of it, it has like Superman's head and shoulders,
mm-hmm.
and then they sit inside of it like the clamshell in Boston. You know, where
awesome.
The Boston Pops play.
I'm surprised they haven't done that. Like, they just didn't put, Tom Brady's head on top of that
thing. I'm surprised that hasn't happened.
And you have to sit inside of Tom Brady's chest.
The Boston Pops play inside of Tom Brady's chest cavity. Which, that would happen. I'm surprised it hasn't been, Babe Ruth for so
many years.
Why is
that not a thing? Why can't we just make design things like that? Why can't we just say, fuck it, we're doing it.
I'm gonna make some weird shit.
Yeah. So he turns on his little signal and Superman shows up.
He's like, woohoo, I'm here.
And he's like, look, I'm done from space. You know, Superman shows up and he's like, yeah, I'm done from space. So like, what's going on? And he's like, well, there's like this other idiot. And he's like, well, you know what? We'll take care of Magna Man later. I'm going to
But aren't we already assuming that Magna Man's dead because Jimmy just got duked?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. Whatever. Jimmy assumes he's still alive or something.
He's still alive, but he straightened out the sword because it might be good to have.
Sure.
And so he's like, all right, well, I'm going to do this thing where apparently I'm a big...
It's a Superman Day tradition here. Let me tell you about it. So he tells him about it, and then he jumps into a hole in the ground.
Jumps into a hole in the ground with a coffin.
With a coffin. So they bury Superman alive.
Yep.
With a backhoe. Actually, Jimmy runs the backhoe to bury Superman alive, and he's like...
Jimmy doesn't have his E5 license.
I know. And he says, now I'll use this digging machine I borrowed. Digging machine.
Borrowed? From who?
I borrowed, I don't know, probably from some dude who's just like, hey, I need that.
Hey, I'm making streets here and shit.
Cover the hole completely so no air can reach Superman. No other man can stay alive. 10 minutes without air, but Superman will stay buried for 2 full hours, then crash out and return to the surface. What a tradition these people have.
Oh, it's awful.
So that's where we see the beginning where there's that clock and Jimmy's pointing at it and he's like, he's coming.
He's coming.
But then we see Superman being like, I've lost my powers. I'm going to die.
How come nobody can hear me? I'm suffocating, gasping.
So 2 hours, it goes by and Superman doesn't bust out. And Jimmy's like, oh no, I better steal this guy's backhoe again and dig him up.
Mm-hmm.
So he digs him up and he opens the coffin and Superman is dead.
Dead.
And he's like, Superman.
He's having this. There's this moment here where he's like, Superman, sob. Goodbye forever.
No. And then my pal. Oh my God. And he's like,
and then, so he's doing
and
this.
Superman's like, goodbye from off panel. Goodbye. But Jimmy, I just got here. And it's like, oh my God, it's Superman. And he's like, but how? And Superman x-rays the dead guy. And he says, oh wait, that person's wearing a mask of me.
He's wearing my skin.
He's wearing my skin. And so-
I wish that's what he said. I wish that's how the book ended. When he was like, he's wearing my skin. And
it could be the same as oh, I have no eyes.
I have no eyes.
No, he's wearing my skin.
Actually, it'd be funny if Superman shows up, he has no face. And he's like, see what happened to your face? Is it on this guy? Oh my God, he's wearing your skin. He's like, give me that.
Let me put it back on with my super healing factor.
Let me use my super staples that I got to put the skin back on my face like I'm Joker from fucking Gotham.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like in Scott Snyder's run. where he cut
the Joker. No, but in, like, on the TV show.
Yeah, but they did it on TV, but that's where they got it from.
Yeah.
Because the Joker cut his own face off. And that's really what should have happened here. So it should have been like super sutures.
Super sutures. Let me use this backhoe to put this thing on
my face. Quick, Jimmy, hit me in the face with that backhoe.
Yeah.
That'll make it stick real good.
Mm. So it turns out, though, it's Magna Man.
Yeah, they rip off the thing and they're like, oh my God, Magna Man's dead. They're like, how? And then apparently he had the plans of what he was doing, like, in the coffin with him.
Well, he's looking at it. Gotta make sure he paid attention.
Well, you're already buried.
Yeah, he's like, okay, so I'm in here. What do I do next?
So I guess this guy's plan was...
Okay, so his plan was to go to...
To bore into the treasure cave.
Which, why he couldn't have just done that already?
I like that they call it the treasure cave.
Mm, treasure cave.
That sounds like a porn store.
Maybe that's what they're trying to bust this guy for, because he's a horrible ruler who just goes into his porn cave.
Well, yeah, maybe he's like, I also want dildos. The people deserve sex toys. Horrible tyrant.
Horrible tyrant. Here's his lead dildo that does not affect me.
So he's like, he was good.
It'd be funny, instead of the other time when he's juggling bowling balls, he's juggling dildos.
Just lead ones?
Lead dildos. Yeah. And he's like, ha ha.
He's like, these probably aren't the best. Juggle, juggle.
This will pleasure no woman.
No one wants to use that. It's probably poisonous.
Very, very juggle, dangerous, juggle. But you know what?
Back in the 60s, nobody knew.
We didn't know the danger of lead dildos.
I think they knew the danger of lead back in the 60s.
Okay. All right.
It's like he was going to super bore into the treasure cave and loot it.
Why he had to wait till today to do it?
I don't know. And then, or why he had to do this super complicated thing. He's already super. He could have done this whenever.
He's dumb.
And he didn't have, whatever. So he was going to bore in and accuse the king of embezzlement. But now he's dead. And they're like, but
yeah, he's just,
what killed Magna Man? Yeah. There was no lead in there. There's no lead dildo in his coffin. And this woman's like, wait a second. Here's a gopher that just popped out of this hole over here.
Uh-huh.
And he's got a tag on him. Because, you know, always tag your gophers. And it says, gopher for super serum test. And they're like, He's like, and what does he say? Magna Man's ears were hurt by my signal. He must have been vulnerable to anything super, including that little super gopher, which by pure chance dug its way to where Magna Man was buried. And then it got close. They both must have lost their superpowers. So apparently the gopher burrowed to Magna Man's coffin, dug in, and bit him, causing him to lose his superpowers, and then he suffocated.
Is that what gophers do? Like, do gophers have, like, crave human super flesh, and is that why it came there? Because it just happened to happen?
I think it just happened. What a cool coincidence that this gopher just bit this man to death.
Go fuck yourself, book.
This gopher just killed Magna Man.
Yeah, yeah.
This man died by gopher. That's a thing that just fucking happened in this comic book.
Yeah, that's happened.
And they're like, aha, he's dead. Yay. And everybody's happy. And no one's questioning the fact that this man died.
Well, right after they killed from this gopher kills him. And then they're like, and then the king's like, Magna Man was a killer. He deserved to die.
Yeah. Who doesn't deserve to be bitten to death?
This counts as a trial.
Yay. It's like RoboCop, but in gopher form.
Robo-gopher. I like it.
Gopher cop?
Yeah.
We'll put a little hat on it.
Wait, so is Duxania a Detroit kind of area?
Apparently it is
now. I like it. It's like Germany plus Detroit.
Yeah. Well, that's why they have the Superman statue.
Yeah, that's true.
And soon that's going to be replaced by a gopher wearing mirrored sunglasses.
A gopher wearing mirrored sunglasses? Because
cop? Yeah, like a cop. Yeah.
Oh.
It's going to be a cop gopher.
Not with a robot hat? Like a robot,
So like, you want like RoboCop, but with like a gopher head?
Yeah.
Could he also wear mirrored sunglasses?
You could change those out every year.
Oh, okay.
It's a change.
I accept this. I accept this compromise.
Yeah. No, we can do that. Yeah. I have, you know, I think this is a much more important thing. And it's funny because they just spend, like, they have a civil war over whether or not he should wear the mirrored sunglasses or try to go as a gopher robot head. Yeah, it's a lot of, you know, they leave this country in shambles.
They do, over mirrored sunglasses.
Mm-hmm. And so anyway, so Superman is like, all right, let's go home. And then, you know, and he takes Jimmy home, and Jimmy's like thinking about, yeah, Jimmy's telling the story to Lucy Lane, and Lucy's like, oh my God, this is crazy.
And he's just like thinking about that kiss.
Oh yeah. He's having a parked chub.
He's gonna have a spinning bow tie pretty soon. And he's like, well,
hey, you want me to draw some Superman in you?
It's like, I brought you this lead dildo as a souvenir of my time in Draxia.
This is all they have in there. It's their number one export.
I didn't know this is how they made their money, but we do now.
Yeah.
So he's like, will I ever see her again? And that's the end.
So just to wrap up here real quick, there's another story in here about how Jimmy
is friends with like a Thor type.
He says,
guy.
Jimmy,
it's actually Thor's.
It's actually Thor, but it's mythological Thor.
Yeah, it's not Thor from Marvel.
Yeah, so it's like Jimmy the Red, Thor's best pal. Basically, I don't know what the fuck is going on here, to be honest.
I don't know. We're in the newsroom, and Clark is there, and he's telling Clark something. I don't. I didn't actually read this part.
He goes, "Okay, I have a. I'm Yale." This isn't Clark. This is a professor.
Clark.
No, it's Jerry Orbach.
He's a dark-haired man with glasses.
Olson, I'm...
can you keep them all straight?
Olson, I'm Professor Yale, the archaeologist. Please contact Superman at once. I've discovered this Viking rune tablet, and it must be destroyed by Superman.
It's just a tablet. Why does Superman have to destroy it?
Because he's strong.
All machines that crush rocks?
Well, Jimmy's been using that thing to dig holes.
Do we not?
That's the only one they have.
Do we not have hammers in this universe?
No hammers.
No shit. We can't break this rock. I guess we'll have to call the strong guy.
The only hammer that exists here is MC Hammer, and he's not strong enough to
do it. He just dances by, can't touch us. Do, 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 do. You need me? No? Okay. Do, do, do.
Get out. Do, 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 do. Yeah.
Next time, Hammer.
Please, Hammer, don't hurt him.
Yeah.
So anyway, he's like, well, I don't even care.
Yeah, he like translates it, and there's a story about how like, or he goes back in time or some shit. I don't even know.
So he decides to like dress up like a Viking and take a fucking trip, and then somehow he gets zapped by lightning holding this tablet and gets sent into time.
Yeah, that's right.
Back into time and hangs out with Eric the Red. Don't figure it out.
Okay, I'm not. He dressed up like a Viking because of a news story, because there's some Viking legend on this tablet.
What a great news story this will make. I could just see the headlines. Jimmy defies Viking legend.
Yes.
Sure.
So he dressed
I must borrow some authentic Viking stuff from a movie company that just completed a Viking picture at its Metropolis studio.
Yeah, so he gets all this fucking, these props, and he goes into the water, and he gets struck by lightning and actually sent back in time to hang out with Thor.
Yeah.
And he saves Thor
because Thor, he just happened to go by like a tunnel, and Thor's in there running stamping his feet.
Yeah, because he's like chained to the ground.
Yeah.
And so Jimmy frees him, and he's like, oh man, you freed me. That's great.
Now you're my friend. Now I have this giant horn if you ever need me.
Yeah, call me if you need me. So he does, because he almost drowns.
Because basically what's happening is Loki of this time is torturing Thor, but Loki is basically represented as an old dude with a green hat.
Yeah, he's got a hobbit hat.
Green hobbit hat. And so they're like, okay, well, let's keep saving you. And then actually, this is my favorite.
He's basically a stand-in for Superman, because he's just saving Jimmy, because Jimmy almost drowns, blows the horn instead of uses his watch. Thor comes and, like, drinks all the water.
Yeah, he drinks all the water.
I think that's actually from Norse legend.
Okay, that makes sense.
I might be wrong about that.
Piss afterwards, or does he spit the water out just to save Jimmy?
I don't know, but I feel like I've heard that story before, where he like sucked up the ocean and I might be wrong about its origin, but I feel like it's a Norse legend.
Yeah.
So don't quote me on that. I might be wrong.
And then some sleeping giant awakes, and they end up turning people old, and it's weird.
Yeah.
And
Thor hits him with a log,
and the giant makes him turn back young.
Sure.
Jimmy is really fat here. He's really fat.
Fat Jimmy.
Fat Jimmy Olsen. And then finally at the end,
Jimmy, he gets like Viking coins.
Well, what he does is he figures out that the Viking apparently is a descendant of Mitzi Picklick, right?
Wait, which Viking?
Or Loki is, I'm sorry.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. This is fucking bullshit.
He can't just be another god. He has to be a descendant of Mitzi Picklick.
He's a descendant of Mitzi Picklick, so he tells him.
If I were Viking, I'd be offended by that.
And he's like,
well, if this was like what, like whenever Vikings were around, like what, 600 AD?
Yeah.
I'd be really mad about that.
Well, right. This is bullshit. This is just garbage.
I'd be like, come on.
So Jimmy decides, he's like, look, he must be, we don't learn this until afterward, but he's like, okay, what I decided to do was to make him say his name backwards. So in Loki? Say Loki backwards, and Loki backwards sounds like Ickle. So he's like, hey, before you like murder me, Loki, here's some money from my world. And he's like, oh, what kind of money do you want? And he's like, well, I'll take the biggest coin. I'll take the nickel. And he goes, ah, and he poofs and he goes away.
But he said nickel.
He said Ickle. Ickle. Oh. Because Loki backwards is Ickle. And then he went away. Right?
But he said nickel.
Ickle.
Didn't he say nickel with an N?
But I guess, right, but you could say, as long as you say the syllables, because apparently...
That doesn't count.
If you say, like, Smirmitsy Pitslick.
No, you have to say the whole thing. You can't...
But he did if you say...
It's not a portion of a word. You have to say the actual thing.
No, be saying the syllables.
I don't agree. That is bull... That's an easy fucking way out. Because you know what? Jimmy could have just told him, this is called this, this, this. And then he could have said, oh, it's a nickel. Or it's called an ickle where I come from. He'd be like, oh, ickle, and then he would have disappeared. Yeah. But no, it doesn't count if there's another letter in front of it. So say me. And I'm obviously the expert here.
Mm-hmm. So basically they're like, oh, yay.
Does he throw Jimmy
well, yeah.
through time?
Yeah. He goes, look, I saved your ass. I say, I made Loki disappear, so why don't you, like, and I want to go back home, so why don't you just, like, throw me through time?
It's like, all right.
And then, like, Thor's like,
that
sure.
sounds safe.
And he throws Jimmy through time. Back to Metropolis.
Man, Back to the Future would have been a lot different if somebody just threw Marty through time.
Oh, I would have loved to have seen that. and he throws him through time.
Like,
and
Doc puts him in, like, a giant slingshot. He's like, you've got to get up to 88 miles per hour. And he just lets him go.
And he does, and he doesn't get fast enough, and then he dies. And then the movie ends. It just ends with Michael J.
15-minute law.
It just ends with Marty just being a cover, just a crumpled mass of body.
Doc just like walking away whistling like Biff, he had nothing Biff, to do with it.
And Biff Tannen comes by and it's like, it actually ends up like an Unsolved Mysteries kind of thing. It's 1986. In 1985, a young man was shot from a slingshot at 87 miles per hour.
We found his splooshed remains all over the side of this white van.
Splooshed remains.
Splooshed.
I said splooshed. We found him 30 miles
he was
away.
Splattered across this mall parking lot.
His body wasn't found for 3 days.
Somebody found his finger in a Sears.
Found his finger in a Sears.
That's how far it went.
Well, like his body, yeah, part
it
of
just
his,
went.
Yeah. Oh yeah, man, because it starts off with somebody at like a Sears, like you know, looking at like power tools and be sure. like, ah, it's a finger. Somebody
he's like stepped on something. He's like, what did I just step on? And he looks down and it's a finger.
Oh man, I hope the reenactment's like a guy with a bus show. Like, ah, a finger.
While holding a drill, like a power drill.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's all he wanted. He just wanted to buy a drill.
He just wanted to buy a Craftsman drill, and he couldn't because he found a finger instead.
Yeah.
So, and then that guy comes out. I was like, I knew it was. I bought the drill because I knew I had to be home by 8 o'clock because that's when Battlestar Galactica was going to be on.
Which actually happens in Unsolved Mysteries. There's one of the early episodes.
Oh, it's out of the gates. You're like, oh, shit.
They're interviewing this guy who has a glorious mullet. A glorious mullet. And he was like, oh, no, I know so in, the last time I saw so-and-so was like at 6:59 p.m.
Was that this time because we hang out because we watch Battlestar Galactica together?
He's like, I know that because I was waiting for a program to come on TV at 7 and that program was Battlestar Galactica. And you're like, oh my God, this is the best show I've ever seen.
Yeah. So, oh yeah, we could talk hours about Mystery Science or Unsolved Mysteries.
Oh my God, it's so good.
I kind of,
it's so perfect.
The show would be 8 hours long.
I love that show.
So, anyways, he gets back to Metropolis and Superman's like, ha ha.
And people are like, oh, that's so good.
He's like, next time leave a forwarding address. It's like, I'll send through time, you idiot.
Yeah. Jokes. And that's the end of the book.
Yeah, that's it for, so that's it for Superman's Pal, Jimmy Olsen, number 112 from July 1968. Would you read the next issue of this?
Of course.
Yeah, we'd probably have it.
I'm sure I might have it. Yeah. This is actually probably one of the oldest ones I have.
Is it?
I have a couple. Most of them are in the 70s.
I think we have a few. I have a couple from that the my dad gave us.
Yeah, I have a couple in the 60s, but most of the ones I have are in the 70s. Yeah. But I would absolutely read the next issue.
Oh, of course. These are the best.
They're ridiculous and so dumb, and I love them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's it for this week's show. Thanks for listening. You can find us on Twitter at Angry Hero Sean, S-H-A-W-N is how you spell Sean. You can also find me on Instagram at Angry Hero Sean.
And I'm at Jen Stansfield on Twitter and Instagram, jenstansfield.tumblr.com, jenstansfield.wordpress.com. And you can also find our show on Facebook.
Yeah, very important.
Worst Collection Ever. And you can also email us at worstcollectionever@gmail.com.
Yeah, send in those messages. We like hearing from you. And of course, Apple Podcasts. If you're on Apple Podcasts, please rate, subscribe, leave a review, give us 5 stars if you think we deserve it. And if wherever it is that you listen to your podcast, if you're on Twitter, or not Twitter, but if you're on Stitcher, if you're on TuneIn, wherever it is that you can rate and review and tell people about the show, share it. And let folks know that you like this podcast, because that really helps us stand out. So
yeah,
we really appreciate it. So thanks for listening, folks, and we'll talk to you again next time.
Bye.